This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Making Wise Decisions at Work.
I invited each of you to send me questions during this series that we would try to answer. And the most common questions that came up from you were these. Number one, how do I know when to quit my job and find one that fits my shape? And number two, second most common, I want to start my own business. I've always wanted to do that. How do I decide if I should? And the third most common, I'm married with kids. How do I know when to take a career risk? When they go to college. No. Some of you are struggling with very difficult decisions. And I could see that in the questions that you turned in. You're unsure where to turn. And some of you are stuck in perfectionism, which creates procrastination. The book of James tells us a double-minded man, a person who can't make up his mind, is unstable in all his ways. Fortunately, the wealthiest businessman who ever lived on the planet also wrote two books of the Bible. And he spread his wisdom about wealth and about work. They are called the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs. Now, we're going to look this weekend at all of a bunch of Proverbs of Solomon's wisdom, particularly in the area of making wise decisions. Now, I'm going to deal with it in relationship to work, but any kind of major decision you have, these eight steps work. These eight principles from Proverbs. Let's get right into it. What are the eight principles from Proverbs on if I have a major decision to make and I don't know which way to turn, I can't figure out what to do, what am I supposed to do? Number one, the first thing you do is this, check the Bible. Check the Bible. This is the principle of revelation, and that is before you do anything else, before you get anybody else's perspective on what you're going to do, you need to go to the Word and you need to get God's perspective. Now, this book, the Bible, is literally filled with God's advice on work and on business. The Old Testament is the book of illustration, and the New Testament is the book of instruction. The Old Testament just illustrates everything that the New Testament teaches. So if you want to know the principles of success and the principles of work and the principles of finance, you go to the Bible, and in the Old Testament, you find all of these stories, like the story of Joseph and the story of Daniel and the story of David and Abraham and Moses and all these other guys, and you can find principles illustrated in their lives. And then you go to the New Testament, particularly the Gospels and, of course, the letters of Paul. But also in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs is a book of instruction that tells you examples and, proverbs of what God wants us to do with our lives. The point I want to make on this first point here is the Bible teaches very clearly, when in doubt, read the owner's manual. That God gave us this manual for life. And the Bible says, your words are spirit and they are life. Now notice what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 2. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. He provides help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. Now notice five benefits of checking the Bible. You might circle them. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, help, and protection. If I've got a major decision to make, those are five things I want. I want wisdom, I want knowledge, I want understanding, I want help, and I want protection. I want you to write this down on your outline. Stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. That's what you need to do when you don't know what to do with your work or anything else. Stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. It's all there. God has already said it all. And a lot of guys are sitting out there trying to decide, men and women trying to decide, what am I supposed to do with my work? And they're waiting for God to write it in the sky. He's not going to write it in the sky. He's already written it in a book. And so don't go outside and sit and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Go read the word of God. God isn't going to write it in the sky. And this is truth, and it is eternal truth, which means it's always right. Now, let me ask you, that's true confession. How many of you have ever made a decision based on an impression that seemed right, but it ended up being a disaster? Yeah, I would guess all of us would say that's true. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, there on your outline, verse 26, a man is foolish to trust himself. But those who use God's wisdom, that's the Bible, those who use God's wisdom are safe. In other words, don't rely on an impression, because an impression most of the time is just an impression. Write this down. Feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't facts. You may feel it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. You might think, this is a great time to start a business, or I have a great idea for a business, and you have a feeling about it, but feelings aren't facts. They're just feelings, and feelings often lie, and if you get an impression, the odds are you're 50% wrong. You need something far more reliable than feelings to base your life, your work, your career, your family, and everything else on. So the first question you want to ask is this: what does God say? When I'm going to make a decision in any area of my life, a decision with my family, a decision with my kids, a decision with my work, a decision with my education, with my money, with anything, I want to ask first, what does God say? And before you do anything else, you get God's perspective. I don't know that I've ever told you this, but before I started Saddleback Church, I read through the Bible 13 times. I wanted to fill my mind so much with what God's word said. I just spent time reading it over and over from cover. I read it 13 times before I started this church, because I want to know, what does God say about leadership? What does God say about growing something? What does God say about building something new, about starting something from scratch? What does God say? And I filled my mind with the word of God. Check the Bible. That's the principle of revelation. Okay, number two, get the facts. That's step number two. Get the facts. And I'm talking about the facts on your particular situation. I mean, because you're not going to find the word McDonald's in the Bible. And so God's not going to tell you to start a McDonald's or a Subway or something like that. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? This is the principle of information. And what you do here is you find out everything you can before you make the decision. This is called doing your due diligence. You study, you examine, you ask questions, you research. You get a realistic view of the situation before you make the decision to jump in on any decision. Let's say you're trying to think about, should I start a new business? You need to study the situation first. I mean, so many people get a great idea and say, you know, I'm a good cook. I think I'll start a restaurant. That's based on a feeling. Okay, and a lot of people start businesses or get into jobs without checking first, what's the job market like there? What's the current market? Is it needed? Without studying the customers? Do we need another restaurant? You know, some whatever things like that. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Acts out of knowledge. Just go back to that illustration of a restaurant. You know, over where I live, there's a building that in the time that I've lived there, there have been six different restaurants in that building that have all failed. Now, let's say you get an idea. I've got a great recipe for pizza. Well, you may have, but I wouldn't suggest you do it in that building. Because obviously, that's a bad location for a restaurant. And it's your hubris, it's pride. Well, I can do what other people haven't done. Oh, really? Don't you think the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 restaurants who were there first thought this one will work. They didn't study the market. They didn't study the customer. They didn't study the situation. They didn't get the facts. Proverbs 13, 16, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Look at the next verse, Proverbs 18, 13. How stupid to decide before knowing the facts. How stupid. You know, a lot of new businesses, the reason they fail is because of uninformed optimism. U.S. Labor Department statistics say of all new businesses, 80% of them fail within the first year. 80%. Of those, the 20% that goes on, 80% of those will fail by year five. And of those that go on, 80% of those will fail by year 10. Now, there's only one style of business that actually has a 80 to 90% success rate. That's the business system franchise, which is those Blimpies and Starbucks and McDonald's and Wendy's. When you buy one of those businesses, you don't buy hamburger at Wendy's. You're buying a system that's almost goof-proof. What is that saying? It's saying that those people have done their research and they know what makes a business fail and what makes a business success. But a lot of people don't do that. They have uninformed optimism. I got a great idea, therefore I'm going to go start a business. No, you shouldn't do that. By the way, a lot of people go into marriage that way too. But we love each other. What are you going to live on? We'll live on love. That lasts about 4 days. Okay. You got to get the facts. Before I started Saddleback Church, I spent 6 months getting the facts. The first thing I did, I read 72 books on church growth. I read everything in print on church growth before I'd ever even moved to Orange County. And then I went and I spent 6 months studying demographics and census statistics and discovered that during between 1970 and 1980, that the Saddleback Valley was the fastest growing area in Orange County, and that Orange County between 1970 and 1980 was the fastest growing county in America. I thought, they're probably gonna need some new churches. A lot of people are moving in there. I didn't just go out and say, well, I like this city, so I'm gonna go there. I did a place where I knew there was gonna be a need. And I spent hours and hours studying census statistics and did demographic studies. Proverbs 14, 16 says this, sensible people are careful to stay out of trouble, but stupid people are careless and act too quickly. Circle the phrase, act too quickly. This is one of the biggest mistakes we make in decision making. It's important to make the right decision, not a fast decision. A lot of times we're enamored with making a decision fast. We gotta make it fast. We gotta make it fast. We gotta make it fast. Let me tell you something. Pressure is never from God. I'll say it again. Pressure. If you feel pressured to make a decision, it's never from God. Zero. Absolutely none from God. Why? Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me if you're tired and heavy laden, I will give you rest. God doesn't put more on you, more pressure on you. If you feel pressure, that's from you, it's from other people, it's from the devil, it's from culture, it could be from a lot of things, but it isn't from God. Anytime you feel pressured to make a decision, you should absolutely stop at that moment and say, wait a minute, why am I feeling pressure right now? And you need to ask yourself, have I got all the facts? It's like these telemarketers who call you up and they say, we want to sell you 1,000 acres of prime property in Arizona for a ranch. You don't even have to see it. Just send us the money. And that, you know, and they're going to pressure you to make a decision or to pressure you to go on a cruise. No, no. Any pressure like that is not of God. Sensible people are careful to stay out of trouble. Stupid people are careless and act too quickly. So the second question you want to ask when you got to make a major decision is this. What do I need to know? First, what has God said? Then second, what do I need to know and how do I find it? What do I need to know and how do I find it? And then whatever it takes, you go do that. Maybe you need to take a seminar. Go to a seminar. Maybe you need to take a class. Maybe you need to read a book. But You figure out, what do I need to know and how do I find it? And this is exactly what I did before starting Saddleback. Well, I knew nothing about starting a church. I'd never started a church. So I read everything I could. I studied all I could. I researched all I could. And I didn't just check the Bible. I got the facts about this area and about what it takes to grow a church. The third thing you do, in the Bible says in Solomon's 8 Steps of Wisdom, is ask for advice. Ask for advice. This is the third thing you need to do if you got a major decision. See, we would rather pretend like we know it all and make a mistake than admit we don't know it all and get the advice to actually work. You need to talk to people about your decision. Now, not just anybody. Don't just talk to your best friend and say, what do you think? Oh, I think that's a great job. No, you need to talk to people who've made a similar decision. Let me say it again. Talk to people who've made the decision you're about to make. I'm gonna move somewhere. I'm gonna leave this job and do this. I'm gonna go into consulting. Well, you better talk to somebody who's in the consulting business that you're in before you do that. It's foolish to not do that. You talk to people who are already doing what you've been doing. And number two, you talk to people, personal friends, who know your shape. And say, I need you to just level with me. Tell me, am I really shaped to do this or not? Is this me or is it not me? Proverbs 20, verse 18. Let's read this aloud together. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without the advice of others. Now, getting advice can prevent disaster. It can save you time. It can maximize energy. You know, people say, well, it's wise to learn from experience. That's true. It's wise to learn from experience. Some things you're only going to learn by your own experience. But it's wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Life is too short for you to make all the mistakes yourself. I don't have time to learn everything from experience. So I want to learn from your experience so I don't have to go through all the pain you went through to learn that. It's wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Life is too short to learn everything by trial and error. I remember one time a number of years ago, Kay was out speaking somewhere and it was her birthday was coming up when she got back. And I said, what would you like? She said, I'd like a German chocolate cake for my birthday. So I thought, I'm gonna make her a German chocolate cake. And I didn't really realize that there were cake mixes for German chocolate cake. So I made it like from scratch, like no mix. And it took me 3.5 hours to make this cake. I called Marilyn, my neighbor, twice for advice. Am I doing this right? And Marilyn said, yeah, here's what you need. Oh, no, you don't put the eggs in at that point. It would have been a disaster if I had tried to do it without advice. But because I called my neighbor, Marilyn, who I'm sure had made many German chocolate cakes, she knew what to do. She told me, and it came out good, and I was the big hero, and I got a cookie. So you want to say, not just what do I need to know and how to find it? You ask for advice. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says this, without advice, plans go wrong. But with many advisors, they succeed. I did this when I started this church. You know one of the things I did before I even came here? I personally wrote to every pastor who was already in the Saddleback Valley. And I asked them a series of questions. And I even gave them a self-addressed reply card and had them so they wouldn't have to spend a lot of time. It was already stamped and posted. And I asked every pastor who was already here before me about the area. What's your advice? What do you think about the community? And I was just listening to them. Why? I'm getting advice from people who'd already done what I was about to do. Most people wouldn't do that. Most church planters wouldn't do that. They'd just go into an area and just start. They go, oh, that's a nice place. And they didn't. I asked every pastor. I got advice. And then when I got here in January 1, 1980, for 12 weeks, all I did was walk door to door and talk to people. And I took a survey. You know this famous survey. Now thousands and thousands of other churches have done it. And I'd walk up and I'd knock on a door. And they'd open the door and I'd say, hi, my name is Rick Warren. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not here to invite you to anything. I'm not here to convert you. I'm just taking an opinion poll. There are no right or wrong answers, and it'll just take about 90 seconds. Can I ask you a couple questions? When I said that introduction, I didn't have a single person who say no in 12 weeks. And I had a little clipboard there, and I said, first, are you an active member of a local church? And if they said yes, I said, God bless you, keep going. And I went to the next home, because frankly, I wasn't interested in the opinions of Christians. I said, I don't know, the goal isn't to get other people from other churches to come here. We want to go after people. We're going to build a church for the unchurched, people who've never been in church, people who hate church. And so when I'd find somebody say, no, I don't like church. I don't go to church. I say, fantastic. That's just great. You're just the kind of person I want to talk to. Let me ask you three more questions. What advice would you give to me as the pastor of a new church that wants to benefit the community? How could I help you? And I would say, why do you think most people don't go to church? Now, I could have said, why don't you go to church? But that's an offensive question. I'd say, it's none of your business. But I say, why do you think most people don't go to church? 9 times out of 10, they give you their reason. And I wrote it down. And I say, if you were looking for a church, what kind of things would you look for? And I wrote it down. I discovered not one person said, I'm looking for a pipe organ. Not one. Choir robes. Nobody mentioned that one. And then I say, so what advice? And then how can I help you? And I just listened and I took notes and I did that for 12 weeks. What am I doing? I'm doing a market survey. That's what I was doing. I was getting the facts and I was asking for advice. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:6, the more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. That means even if you have to pay for it, you want to get the advice of other people. But as I said, one of the reasons why we don't like to ask for advice is we don't want to admit we don't know it. I have discovered, I've been around some really successful people, and I've discovered a couple things. One, the most remarkable people I've met in my life don't think they're remarkable. It's people who are small thinkers that are hung up on themselves and think they're so great. Humility and wisdom go together. And when you get humility and wisdom, you get success. It's pride and arrogance. I think I know it all. And you barge ahead without asking for advice and getting the facts and checking the Bible. So here's what you want to ask. Write this question down. Who could advise me? Who could advise me? Who has already gone where I want to go in terms of health, in terms of children, in terms of business, whatever you're dealing with, who could advise me on this who's already been there?
Thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We've got some great news to share with you. Very generous friends have given a $10,000 matching grant to this ministry. That means every dollar you give right now to help Daily Hope share the transforming love of Jesus with people around the world will be matched up to $10,000. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 and have your gift matched up to $10,000. That's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to have your gift matched by the $10,000 grant, so please act now. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.